Good evening, brothers and sisters, friends of the truth. I'd like to begin by asking a question of all of you. How many of you, just by a show of hands, have lost something? I'd like to see how many people have lost something. Well, I would have guessed more. How many people have never lost anything? Well, that seems to be a little more consistent with what I suspected. This is an opportunity for us to do a little bonding, because I too have lost something. When you lost something, how did you go about finding it? Probably, maybe you reasoned, like, now, what would I do with something like that? Where would I put that object? Or you might have figured out, what was I doing? I think frequently we all kind of retrace our steps, you know, somewhere we'll get 15 feet away and forget why it is we were walking somewhere. And so somehow when we walk back, we remember. I don't know how that works, but that seems to be one effective way of figuring out what you're doing. Well, I know when around our house, when we lose something, you know, we generally kind of develop a methodical search. Maybe it's drawer by drawer, or it could be room by room. Somehow it seems like whatever we lose, we have to go through the garbage. So it's bag by bag. But, you know, sometimes you have success, and sometimes you give up because you've decided that, it didn't have enough value, or maybe you've worked long enough or you can figure out how to replace it or something of that nature. But I think the key is when we lose something, the intensity of our search is really related to the value that we place on that item that we've lost. So it's an issue of how important it is to us, and then we develop a plan of recovery. Now, maybe we don't formalize it quite that way as we're thinking about how to replace or how to find this lost item. But I think the issue here is when we lose something, the value that we place on what we've lost is directly related to the intensity with which we pursue finding or restoring that lost item. Now, essentially that's what we're going to talk about this evening, and it's a form of searching, and it's searching for something that's lost. And if we go back in the history of man, we suffered an estrangement with God at the hands of Adam and Eve. And at that time, we lost something that was very precious to us, an association with our Heavenly Father. And as we now search for a way to rebuild and find and restore that lost relationship that we had, you know, we each have a different, station in life right now. There are those who might be considering baptism, which would be a way that they could begin their search to reestablish this relationship. There are those of us who are baptized who are in the middle of their walk, still trying to, again, close that gap, that relationship that we lost. Now, as I see it, in this context, there are two searchings. And that's, if I had to title this talk, that's probably what I would have titled it, is two searchings. And if we, on the chalkboard here, if we put God on this side and us on this side, the two searchings that I'm talking about are God searching for us and we searching for God. And we're trying to close that gap and to develop that relationship so that we are at one. Now, in this activity, as I see it, the methods are a little bit different. We search for God through His Word and through prayer, and we find Him by faith. And God searches our hearts, and He finds us in faith. And so if we just add that nomenclature to this, that God is searching our hearts, and we are searching His Word and with prayer. And again, when we search with Word, search through the Word to try and find God, and through prayer, we really find Him by our faith. And likewise, when He searches for us and we're trying to make this connection, it occurs when He finds us in faith. And then that gap draws closer. Now, if we look at God's search, He will successfully search our heart. We will not be able to conceal our thoughts, and He'll be successful in that regard. And the Scripture is certainly very clear that as He looks at us, He can determine our status, what is really in our heart. How responsive we have been as we have searched through His Word and through prayer. Thus, I think as you look at these two activities, as our activity through baptism and through our walk, as we search His Word, which we're doing here in this Bible school, and as we approach God through prayer, we have a continuous and parallel activity. We're trying to align those arrows, if you will, so that they meet each other. Now, we've been reassured in Scripture that if we truly seek God, we will find Him. We will not be unsuccessful if our heart is indeed true. We read that to Solomon in 1 Chronicles in the 28th chapter, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts." And then here's the key. "If thou seek Him, He will be found of thee. But if thou forsake Him, He will cast thee off forever." And this effort is not going to be one that's easy. We read in Ecclesiastes in the first chapter, "And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith." This activity of trying to align ourselves with God's searching of our heart is one that's going to be associated here with travail. Now, I've never given birth to a baby, but we know that travail in Scripture is used a lot in conjunction with birth. And it's a hard process. It's something that doesn't come easy. But at the end of giving birth, there's joy. And I think we've all experienced that, all of us that are parents. And so, while we are being, as it says here, exercised therewith, and through this travailing, again, there is the opportunity for this joy and the good relationship to be reestablished with our Heavenly Father. You know, God searched the heart of David. It's recorded in Psalms where David says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. And then David pleads for God to do so. And I ask you, is that something that we do? Do we have the courage of our faith to plead with God to search our heart like David did? David says, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. You know, it takes a lot of courage to stand up and ask God to test you, to search your heart, to examine it, because He will know the inner searching or inner activity of your heart. Now, what about our search? You know, as we're trying to align ourselves and through word and prayer, as we try to find God, you know, we don't do that as a child might with one of curiosity. We search with a purpose. We search to find. We want to find that precious item. We are going to be very methodical and very intent. And just as we talked about earlier this evening, you know, when you've lost something, based on the value that you place on that item is the intensity with which you search for it. And just as God is looking into our hearts and we're establishing the value that we place on this relationship, you know, that will raise our intensity to be successful and to not give up. And if we don't find it the first time through the house, we go through it again. And we go through it again. So it's very important for us to maintain this intensity, because God declares to us, as He did to Israel, in Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, and ye shall seek me and find me. And then He qualifies that. He says, ye shall seek me and ye shall find me. When? When ye shall search me with all your heart. Now, our search for this excellence is delineated by the Word of God that we find in the Holy Scripture. You know, if we look at our intensity, and we read in Acts 17 of the Bereans, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things be so. And what about our habits? 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And what of our attitude? Romans, the 2nd chapter, God who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for the glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. You know, the attributes that we need to possess are just right here. Patient continuance in well-doing. You know, the very things that we're experiencing here, those things that are different than we experience away from here, in the ability for us to relate to each other, to be strengthened, to build our walls against the world. And what of our priorities? Matthew in the 6th chapter, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. Now, if we do these things in earnest, Matthew goes on to say, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. We need not fear about our success in closing this gap with God. Certainly His mercy will be needed for all of us because we ultimately are weak vessels. But if we don't have the confidence, if we don't endeavor to search and to make this association to close that gap, then we will be unsuccessful. We will fail. Now, the example that was read this morning, or the verses that were read this evening, are really a conclusion of the 12 spies that were sent into the land of Canaan. I'd like to kind of go back and revisit that activity because these were 12 men, these were 12 leaders of Israel, handpicked by Moses to search out the land. And this was the promised land that they were searching out. And did these men have faith? Were the hearts of these men aligned? Did they take what they had seen in word and in deed and through prayer and believe in it? Well, if you look starting in the 13th chapter of Numbers, and you're free to turn up this account, we will not look at it verse by verse, but rather we'll kind of highlight certain verses. Beginning at 13:1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. Now they were to go into the land of Canaan, and they were to investigate four items. They were to look at whether the land was good or bad. They were to look and search whether the people lived in tents or fortified cities. They were to search whether there were building materials there, such as trees and so forth. And finally, they were to bring back some evidence of the land's bounty. These four activities is what these four leaders, we call spies, went into the land to search out. And they did this for 40 days, and they returned. Let's look at their report in Numbers 13:27. And they told him, that would be Moses, and said, We came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. They obviously had brought something back and were putting it on display. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled, and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Now Caleb took exception with that report. In the 30th verse, And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. So I ask you, these men that gave this report, you know, where do they fit in this graphic? Where is the faith and where is not the faith? And the response to Caleb, who spoke in faith, is in the 31st through the 33rd verse. And the others, the ones that we have come to call the ten, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now, as we think of our search for God, and as He searches our hearts, this timid report, this report of no confidence, this report of essentially rejecting the miracles that they had witnessed earlier in their lives, those of God leading them out of sin and to the promised land, a land which in a sense we seek. These men said, let's not do it. We'll get hurt. We will not be successful. We will lose. We will fail. Our search for the promised land is over. Let's give up. That cannot be our attitude. Now, Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb knew that. They knew that God was with them. They knew that they would be successful if the people but had faith. And they argued. They tried to stop the rebellion. And they recalled the supportive power and the might of God who had led them to the place that they were. And then the scripture turns to God's reaction to this event on the earth. And His frustration with Israel surfaces in Numbers 14:11. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will this people provoke me? Is God saying that about us? How long will you provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them. I will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. He was prepared to abandon all of Israel. Wash them away. Because of their unbelief. Now, I guess I think this is a real unique situation. Moses challenges God. He says, wait a minute. How many of us in our walk feel the confidence to do something like that, to say, wait a minute, let's talk this over? But that's just what happened. Moses presents to God the circumstance that suggests maybe God ought to reconsider and continue with this people and be patient with them. And he obtains an extension of mercy yet again for the people of Israel. In Numbers 14:20, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But God, in his continuing frustration, reaffirms that blessing that we all look forward to in the next verse when he says, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. He will not be frustrated by this circumstance. Now, consider that probably 5 days ago, each of us in this room, we were in our respective Sinais. We were in the world of sin. Whether it be in our home states, our cities, the different countries that we came from, we were in a land dominated with sin. We were in the wilderness. We were estranged from God. Probably even some of us wrestling with some of the doubts that Israel wrestled with as we've just read. Okay, now consider that our journey to this Bible school was like the journey to the land of Canaan. That the opportunities that we have here are ones that are not unlike flowing with milk and honey. That it abounds with fellowship and full of the joy of the Lord. This is a very small sample of our land of Canaan. And we journeyed here just like Israel journeyed. And our challenge is probably not unlike Israel's. We need to overcome that which is denying us our inheritance. As we look at this graphic, what we need to try and accomplish is to reduce the gap that's right here. This distance, which of course varies for all of us, but it's still there. We need to close that gap. We need to do something that achieves bringing these two lines closer together. They need to be right here, right together, so that this distance is minimal, and hopefully when we hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," there is no distance here. We've closed that gap. We have aligned ourselves so that as God searches our heart and as we search His Word, there is no variance. Now, we've made several references in the classes and some of the talks about faith. And we referred to Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Why would we do this? Why would we go to all this effort if we didn't believe that? If we didn't believe that God had a reward for us, that this small sample of Canaan here at this Bible school was something that in our search we placed value on. And that's why we're here. And we've made various sacrifices to be here. And we've reset priorities to be here. And all of those are good. And this is an opportunity for us to enjoy a very small sample of what Canaan can be to us. But we don't do that without faith. We don't do that without a belief in God and that He's a rewarder of those that search Him. We don't want to be like those 10 spies who didn't have the faith to go into that land and be successful. And they lost their reward. But we want to be like Joshua and like Caleb who searched in faith. And while, yes, they saw the same things, they saw the same fortified cities, they saw the same trained armies, but they believed that with their God with them, that they would be successful. Do we have that same confidence? Do we approach each day believing that God is with us and will help us be successful? You know, when the spies went into the land, they went in to search out four things. Whether the land was good or bad. And the question that I raise is this a race that we want to run? How do we feel about that? Is the land good? Is it worth our search? And can I win if I start? You know, these were the things that the doubting 10 spies succumbed to. They believed they couldn't win. The second question was whether the people lived in tents or fortified cities. The question to us is, will the obstacles of the world cause us to turn away? Do we have faith? What about the building materials? You know, if we talk about materials for us to build our faith, this is it, brothers and sisters. This will build our faith so that it is so strong that it will not be overcome. And the final thing was to bring back some evidence of the land's bounty. And do we believe that God will reward us? Yes, we do. There is bounty for our searching. So with whatever stage we are searching in, whether we are determining whether to be baptized, to begin our race, whether we are in the midst of our race, we have to first believe. Now, I was very pleased and moved when Brother Charles Walker, when he opened the Bible school, invited those who would be interested in baptism to consider that this week. I don't recall having heard that invitation before at other Bible schools. And it was such a simple observation that I really felt a second appeal would be appropriate. Because, you know, we have to have the courage for those young people and those that are considering baptism. And we have to be of good cheer. And we have to be like those two spies, like Joshua and Caleb, who said, we can do it. It can be done. We can overcome what is preventing us from achieving what we are searching for. And that's that reinstatement with our Heavenly Father. And how do we do it? We have faith. We believe and be baptized. And then we enter into the joy of our Lord. And so that's my message this evening, is that as we consider what we have lost, and as each of us in our own way searches to restore that which was lost, that we have courage, that we be like Joshua and we be like Caleb, that as we look at the land of Canaan, which we can see, which we can take, we can see some of the fruit, that we have the courage to follow through. Thank you.